I'd like to teach you a song to start the service with. And it's a song, I'm going to sing through it once so you get the idea of how it goes, and then I'll get you to join in. But it focuses on a number of things, on God's holiness, on God's nature, Father, Son, and Spirit, our relationship with God, our presence to and with God, and then the praise of God. So it's just called Holy.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
Hosanna in the highest. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Please stand.
Please be seated. We're going to share together a psalm, responsive psalm this morning. And I want you to pay particular attention to the flow of the psalm. What are some of the emotions that are picked up? How do they connect together? So if you'd like to respond in the bold. Save me, O God. May those who try to kill me. May those who are happy because of my troubles. May those who make fun of me. May all who come to you.
Be glad and joyful.
May all who are thankful for your salvation.
Always say, our great God.
I am weak and poor.
Come to you.
You are my Saviour and my Lord. Next slide. Oh, that's it. Well, okay, I'm really, I think I probably need to reflect on that last line. Hurry to my aid. What I really like about that psalm was the flow of it. I mean, there's the highs and the lows, isn't there? It's not trying to fake it and just make it appear. There was the combination of the joys, the lows, as they experience life. So I'm going to invite you to pause with me as we pray. Lord Jesus, as we remember that these words were written almost 2,700 years ago, and throughout that time, human beings have struggled with all sorts of hardships in different places and different countries throughout the entire world. And these words remind us that in fear and anger, joy and love, hope and despair, they have cried to you. They've laughed, they've wept, they've asked for your help. Lord, today we are no different. Our lives are a mixture of so many things. In our lives today, we ask for your help. We ask that you would come to our aid. As we prepare for communion today, Lord, we ask that you would continue to open our hearts so that as we share these special elements, that you would continue to break us down so that we may be remade. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 to 18, the whole armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, welcome to you all this morning and those online. And if you're visiting for the first time, welcome. And it's great to have here. And for those online, if you tune in for the first time, well, welcome along to our experience online. We normally have a kids talk, so today is no different. So if the kids want to come down the front, and maybe those who are, no, we won't go there because we'll have, hey, Sam, how are you? You guys, welcome. What am I holding here?
A jacket.
What sort of jacket? A leather jacket. You want to try it on? Would you like to try it on? Down. Okay. What do you notice about that jacket? It fits pretty good. I'm shrinking. So what sort of jacket is this? So what are we noticing? Is it a plastic vinyl jacket? It's thick. It's heavy, isn't it? Like, I can grab this and shrug it around. It's not going to rip, is it? Like, I can grab this and... So who wears these jackets? When would you wear this? Would you go wearing this to breakfast?
No.
Would you wear this in the shower?
No. You have to get your body wet.
Because you have to get your body wet, and that would just rain off, wouldn't it? So when would you wear this jacket? I mean, what sort of jacket? What?
In the rain.
Well, you could. Who would wear this jacket? Who would wear? Would a nurse wear the jacket?
No.
Would a Sunday school teacher wear a jacket?
No.
Would you be running in this jacket?
No.
Would you be riding a scooter with this jacket? Would you be riding a motorcycle with this jacket? So why would you be wearing a motorcycle with this jacket? What is it about this jacket it's trying to do? Apart from look really cool and trendy. And I'm going to have the jacket back afterwards. So, okay, so let me help out. So these jackets, they wear them because if you come off your bike, what happens is you slide along on this leather and it's so thick, it doesn't burn into your skin. So that's why they wear the... That's right, Digby, you wear a bike. Who else drives a bike around this place? Bill, where is Bill? Bill, where are you when we need you? So this is a protection. So today we're talking about the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is a breastplate? We're talking about it, and the soldiers of old used to wear jackets, but they were metal, and they were to protect. And so just like a bike rider wears this to protect if he comes off in danger, so the same thing happens for the soldier. They have the breastplate. So today, you guys are going to do some work in Sunday school a bit later, and the idea is you're going to work around what this means. What are breastplates for? Why did soldiers wear breastplates? What were they trying to protect? Well, that's going to be really exciting, but we're going to have communion first. So before you charge off and do your Sunday school stuff, we're going to have communion. So the idea is this protects us. And the question will be, what is the breastplate that you're going to look at? How does that protect us in our life of faith? Good question. All right, let me share a prayer and we'll do some notices. Lord Jesus, thank you for our lives. Thank you that there are things we can put on that protect us. Help these young people and ourselves to understand more fully what that might be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, look, a few notices. As you notice, the chairs are a little bit different. And our great strategy, or our other one of our many mottos this year is grow and learn as we go. So after today, we'll do some reflection on what worked and what didn't. And so next week, it'll be probably totally different again. But that's just 2020, isn't it? Welcome to the year of change. So a few things. There are some amongst us who are even wiser than they were last week. There are some people who are celebrating a birthday this week. I won't embarrass you by name, but we have some beautiful, wonderful people who have turned 80.
We know who they are.
Also, we've got some people amongst us who are going to have a bit of a sea change, who are moving further down the coast. Again, I haven't asked for permission, but hey, all the best, buddy. Again, it's like, welcome if you're the first time here, online or here. And again, it's what I'm going to try and do is keep an eye out on the grapevine during the week. And if you haven't got a left your email, we every week on a Wednesday and a Saturday, we send out some information, which gives you an opportunity to reflect on something to grow your life. And again, we'll try and keep you up to date with what's happening. All right, so as we prepare for communion, I'm going to hand back to the band. Thank you, guys.
Was broken that we might be healed.
As we prepare ourselves for this sacred meal, we ask that your Spirit would continue to move in and through us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. So communion is one of those special sacred signs, a sacred moment where somehow we discover more about our relationship with God. And it's a mystery, isn't it, really? And so that's part of what we're trying to do. So I won't try and control it from the front here, but I'll get my faithful disciple at the back, who I put on the pump a couple of times today already. So the sequence of what we do in our communion is I start with a prayer of thanksgiving or the words of institution. And we base that on what Paul invited us to do and reflected on. So listen to the words of institution. Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, broke bread. And when he had given thanks, he said, 'This is my body broken for you. Eat and remember.' In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This is my blood.' It's the new covenant which is shed for you. Do this, and as often as you do, for the remembrance of me. For as often as you eat and drink this, you remember my presence with you until my return." So it's really a profound encounter with the living Christ. So there's a few responses I'll get you to say. And I guess part of that is to sort of make... Liturgy is often described as the work of the people. So getting you to respond is trying to get you to do some stuff as well. So, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Here and now God waits
to change our minds, to change our lives, to change our ways,
to make us see the world and the whole of life in a new way, to learn to put on the love of God in our lives, the lives of others, and within the world. As we look at the next slide, I'm going to invite you to pause as we offer some prayers for the world in which we live. This week there's been some, again, France has found itself embroiled with the tension between the secular and the faith, with terrorists, and then we have the world continuing to get smashed with the pandemic. and then there's America, and we can list a hand, you know, the list goes on. So I'll invite some space for you to pray for the country that you're most concerned about. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that while we're on an island, actually we're a part of the world. And the world we know is just in a big mess at the moment. So much chaos and so much things happening. It's just a never-ending cycle of news stories flashing across our screens. Lord, we want to pause and we want to offer some prayers. We're thankful for where we are in Australia and thank you for how Victoria is going too. But we think of the rest of the world now. And in this time of quiet, I invite you to offer your prayers for a part of the world which has your heart. Lord, as we think of the world, which is, I guess, a part of the human family, we're reminded that each one of us has our own family. And I guess in different degrees, they are in different states of connection or disarray, depending on what's happening. Lord, we think of our family. Maybe there's someone in our family who really needs some special prayer right now. So again, I invite you to pause and offer some prayers. Surround this person with God's love, your forgiveness, whatever it is you hope for them. And Lord, finally, we come to ourselves. We take ourselves with us wherever we go. So Lord, we pray for ourselves. We pray that we may continue to understand and become aware of who we are, the changes that needed to continue to happen in our lives, the truth. So again, I invite you to offer your prayers to God for yourself. Let's join together and say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. You know, one of my favorite parts of communion is the affirmation that we are here not because we deserve to be here, not because we are intelligent, beautiful, wonderful, handsome individuals, even though we might be. The invitation is for us to come and experience God's grace and love again for no other reason than God loves us. So come if you've got great faith, or if you've got little faith. Come if you've been here so often you can't even remember. You've run out of fingers and toes. Come here if this is your first time. Come if you feel like you deserve to be here or if you don't. Because we remember that Christ himself prepared a table for us and invites us to come so that we may be filled, forgiven, healed, made new. Because when we were no people, Christ called us his own. When we were abandoned, we were called children. So we gather here because Christ himself wants to enfold us in his arms of love and acceptance and grace. So come, not because I invite you. This table has been in existence a long time before me. Come because Christ invites you to know him and his love more fully. With the stewards who are helping today, I'd like to come forward, and again, we'll serve you in your seats. Thank you. And our tradition here is we hold the elements and then share them together. Thank you. Yes, So the body of Christ broken for us. Let us eat and remember. Let us drink and remember Christ's love. Lord Jesus, as we taste and reflect on your love, as these elements are absorbed into our body, may we continue to absorb the very love that for millennia has tried to fill this world. Lord Jesus, we open our lives to you again this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our last response, I'll invite you to share with me before the children charge out to Sunday school and do some body work. Lord Jesus, let's say this together. Lord Jesus, you have put your life in our hands. Now we put our lives in yours. Take us and remake us. No longer is it important what we have been. Rather is what we can be with you that matters. I really love that invitation, and it's a beautiful saying that really recognizes that actually whatever has been, today is a fresh start. Let me share a prayer as we start our time together reflecting on the Word of God. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all the things that have happened so far in this service, for the way you've stirred us with different words and images and sounds. We ask for your peace and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. I realize that every week there seems to be something changing. I'm finding that I'm so used to change that when I'm driving from home here, I'm trying to find different ways to get here. So if I'm late one day, you know I've decided to go via Cape Jervis or something like that. I don't know. But it's really a funny thing how we get used to change. I think this is the first time we've done communion over this side. And so once it's just change is happening all the time. So it's really just a funny, strange thing. And it's just our world. So this week we're talking about the Armor of God series, and we're on to our second one. Am I too loud, people? Am I bouncing around too much? All right, good. So the Armor of God. So we're up to the breastplate. And last week we were talking about the belt. Now there's a few things I didn't actually talk about last week, which I'll add. But the belt of truth, or the kilt of truth, depending on how you want to look at that. So truth is one of those significant things. Without truth, we don't have any awareness. Without awareness, we can't change. And we talked about the different sayings that confronted people, you know, you can't handle the truth. What is truth? Truth sets you free. But once you know the truth, you can't unknow the truth. Know what I mean? It's like once you realize something, it's like, okay, you can't undo that. And so that's wonderful, challenging, painful, surprising. But in the end, it's better to know the truth than not. Doesn't matter if you can handle the truth or not, you're still left with the ramifications of truth. The other thing about the belt of truth, and the reason they put the belt on first, was because it actually tied in with the breastplate. Without attaching the breastplate, you know, the soldiers would be running along and the armor would be bouncing all over it. So that's a very uncomfortable, heavy thing anyway. So the way in which the belt connected to the breastplate held them together. So the truth came first, which connected the armor together, which meant the sword and everything else that followed was connected and significant. And so when you look at this picture, you can see how the armor comes across as one piece, but it's really layered and connected and made up of bits and pieces. So it's really an important part, and I guess when we look at metaphors for life, you know, truth needs to come first. And as people of faith, truth is one of those significant things that we need to have in our individual lives and our lives as a community, because it is so important. And the breastplate, which we're looking at today, protects all the vital heart and lungs and all the vital organs. And that's why they had armor. Now, obviously, in the ancient days, they didn't have any idea of blood pressure or cholesterol tests or good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. They knew that the heart pumped and that certain veins, if you cut them, you would bleed out on. So they knew arteries and they knew things. They didn't really understand diet and all that sort of stuff, which we do. But they also had the understanding that the heart was something worth protecting, physically as well as metaphorically. I mean, you read the Bible and they talk about the heart. You know, prophets would lament that the people of Israel had a stone heart or a heart of stone. So they understood that love, compassion, care was a metaphor for the heart as well. So Paul did as well. So when we're talking about the armor series, we're talking about the things that are being protected, and one of the things is our heart, our love, compassion, our care for ourselves and others. Now, you know, we've often heard people say, have a heart, I love you with my whole heart. It doesn't quite sound the same when someone says, I love you with my mind. Just doesn't it flow, does it? You know, holding sweaty hands across the table saying, I love you with my whole mind. Or celebrating 60 years, 50, 60, how many years was it? 60 years of marriage, woohoo! You know, sensational stuff. So the heart, love, passion is the sort of stuff that Paul is wanting to protect. Now, there's a lot of stuff on that screen, so I think I'll just leave that screen and we'll just roll on to this. The reading we've had really picks up this whole idea of righteousness. Let me give you a definition of what righteousness is. It's a quality or state of being morally correct and justifiable. Now, I haven't got that on the slide, so we won't come to that just yet. The person that has been judged or reckoned as leading a life that is pleasing to God. So when Paul's talking about righteousness, he's talking about someone who is seen by God to be right, correct, perfect, connected. Maybe not perfect, but you know what I mean? A friend of God. Abraham was counted as a friend of God. He was seen to be right with God, which is a wonderful, powerful thing. And I often think there's nothing worse than being judged, being guilty of something you're innocent of. And like, I'm not sure if you've seen, I was thinking I should have done a bit more research on this, but in America they have a group of people who are committed to researching people on death row who are innocent. And sometimes people who are innocent and been on death row for 30 years and convicted of a murder charge or something are found to be released and free because of their DNA proved them that they weren't the person guilty. And the sense of that freedom of going from being guilty to free would be profound. And there's a sense in this righteousness that is conveyed here. God is saying, you're innocent. It's a powerful, powerful insight. But it's one of those things that's interesting. I guess the novelty wears off, or the truth or power of that wears off. It's a bit like, what's your favorite food? Give me some answers. Favorite food? Pancakes. Yeah, pancakes. Roast pork with crackling. Cheesecake, pizza. Pizza and cheesecake, not sure if they go together. Chocolate. You guys are all vegetarians over this side. Come on, what is wrong with you people? Come on. Okay. But imagine if you've been starving, you've been in hospital and you haven't had to eat all your favorite foods, or you've been away, or you've been on a diet or whatever it is, and you have your first chance to eat your favorite food. You know, the first half of that cake is sensational, isn't it? But if you then have to keep eating, it's a bit like a banquet. Your first two courses are great and you realize you've got another eight coming. It's like the joy just wears off after a while. And there's a sense sometimes, the problem with the good news is we get so used to the good news, it just becomes the ho-hum news. Or that I've already eaten that news. Or is that all the news there is? You know what I mean? And I guess it's really hard for us to try and, hard to find a metaphor or image that helps understand that. Because what's really interesting about this reading is that Paul is saying there are some things we have to put on. We don't wear them all the time. There are some things we have to put on. And that's a really interesting thing. Because you don't wear your chest plate armor all the time. I mean, obviously you don't wear it into the shower or when you go to bed or when you're having breakfast. Because it's just uncomfortable, heavy. And soldiers would only wear that sort of body armor if there was a crisis or they were on duty or had to respond. It was a critical event. So Paul is saying there's some things you need to put on. Now the question is, well, why do you have to put it on? What is it that Paul's saying we have to be cautious of? And the reading today picks this up. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put it on the breastplate of righteousness. Now there's one word I really want you to focus on. If I can find it. On that day. So I should have bolded that. Maybe how to stand on that day. So on that day. On that day is not like, oh, what did you do this week? Oh, you know, I just had one of those days. No, it's not that day. That day is reserved for, you know, when everything goes wrong. you know, like that day. I'm not sure how many that days you've had in your life. I've had a few. On that day, when nothing else seems to matter, because it just, the world as you knew it is just no more. On that day, Paul says, I got something for you. God's got something for you. It's called the armor of God. It's called the breastplate of righteousness. It's called something you put on that you don't normally wear that makes a difference to your life. What is that? No condemnation. Now, when was the last time you used that word in a sentence? I would imagine you don't use that word very often. But I have to tell you that word for me is fundamental to faith. No condemnation. What does that mean? It doesn't say, well, just not a lot of condemnation, a little bit of condemnation. It says no condemnation. You are not judged when you put the armor of God on. No condemnation. On that day, when you've stuffed everything up, there is no condemnation when you put the armor of God on. Because most times we forget it. It's just a word that sits on a cupboard somewhere that we don't even use half the time, except someone like me does from the front. How do you even spell condemnation? Oh, I've given you a bit of a hand. It's like the good news is no condemnation, but we get so used to it, it's just like, eh. On that day, Paul says, when your world is turned upside down, you put on this stuff. You remind yourself of no condemnation. And that's when it becomes a powerful insight. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. That's a beautiful word. God's truth that regardless of our hardship, our experiences in life, this is the fundamental gospel message, isn't it? And Paul says, we stand firm. Why do we stand firm? Because we've got, against all the things that happen in our life, we are free, we are accepted, we are loved. Once you're a child of God, you're always a child of God. Doesn't matter the journey that you go on. And sometimes we need to hear that. When everything's going well, it's like, eh. It's when that day comes on that we need to hear that stuff. So, I'm not sure. Do you even know where your armor of God is? Where have you stored it? Is it in the garage somewhere? Have you got it in your dirty washing basket? Maybe by mistake. Maybe is it on the top shelf of the wardrobe? Did you put it in the garage sale and someone else bought it? Do you need a new set? Where is your armor? God has given you a set. Do you even know where it is? Maybe are you wearing it today? The armor of God is a powerful thing. And the reason it's a powerful thing is because, and I'm sorry about this slide, it looked really nice when I put it on my PowerPoint, but here it looks terrible. But Romans chapter 8, if you find yourself on that day, read Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39, because what Paul says is really God's words to us. For I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, created things, I think that covers most of it, will be able to separate us from the love of God. So the armor series gets us back to this fundamental truth. God's choice of us is the love of God. And sometimes we need to put it on when really what we feel like doing is the opposite. And that's really part of the challenge of grief and loss, is that often it draws us in. It makes us want to yell and scream at all the wrong people. And when we've picked up the Psalms, we know that the Psalms are really an honest reflection where people say to God, "What is happening?" They're not ignoring God. They're actually dialoguing with God. And if you're a bit uncomfortable about using your own words, just get a psalm and read it out very loudly. Because in the end, it's still scripture. There's nothing wrong with reading scripture loudly, even if it says, "Why me, Lord?" You're not actually yelling. You're just reading scripture loudly. That's acceptable. And I would prefer you to do that than to shut the Bible and throw it away. Because relationships require dialogue, honesty, truth, where we're at. So, put on the chest plate of righteousness. Look, I'm not sure what you've connected with today. I've thrown a lot of different images at you. Some I'd planned to, some I hadn't. It just happens that way. But this question I want to invite you to think about. Put on the chest plate of righteousness. What is the one truth about God that you put on in hard times? Now, I've shared mine. No condemnation. That, for me, is my fundamental truth. I'm loved and accepted. What is the one truth about God you put on when you experience hard times? What is the one truth? And the second thing, does that match up to the power of no condemnation? Have you undersold your truth? Do you need to crank it up a bit? I'll give you a moment to think. Lord, lots of words. We ask that your Spirit would just stir this stuff, build it into us in a new way. Strengthen us, grow us in faith. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks, David.
Righteousness revealed. The Son of Man, the Son of God, His kingdom comes. Jesus, redemption sacrifice. Jesus, God's holiness is praise.
As we go into what is left of this year, a couple of months left, Christmas is coming. I invite you to continue to connect with people and choose life, because to grow stronger through COVID, we have to pass on God's love, a love of hope, a love of no condemnation, a love that gives life. So go in peace to serve the Lord in whatever way you can. Amen.